Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. I'm a pastor, as she has mentioned, and I'm also the president of the NAACP. But what I love the most is being a believer in Jesus Christ and being a follower of Jesus Christ and doing the work that he has called all of us into doing. I love this up here. We are lovers of Jesus. We are apprentices. I love that. And in keeping with that theme, I am definitely going to do my best with the help of God to continue in that vein about being an apprentice of Jesus. And so repeat this after me. Say, this is what we must do. This is what, talk to your neighbor and say, this is what you must do. But then you got to make it personal and say, this is what I must do. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Now, before I read or get started, I do have a question to ask you. Have you ever wondered or even asked God, what does he need from me? What does he need from us? You know, we can always go to God and ask him or tell him what we need. But have you ever thought about what it is that God needs from us? Be honest, it's okay. You're in church. It's not a sin. Amen. Have you ever wondered or thought? And we have no problem with asking him what we need, but what does he need, especially during these turbulent times, these perilous times that we're going through, as far as the nation, around the state, and even in this city, and even maybe even your family, or even happening to you personally? What is it that God needs from me as a believer, as a Jesus lover? What is it that he wants from me, right? Now, the theme for this year in my church, and we have been working diligently toward it, is to transform believers into disciples so that they will become witnesses who transform believers into disciples that become witnesses who transform believers into disciples that become witnesses. We have been making a deliberate, intentional push to make that be so. Now, it's something that doesn't happen overnight either. And it's not and something that will never stop. Once you become a disciple, when you become a believer, that's just the first step. You have to become a disciple that becomes a witness who then goes out to transform other believers into disciples, okay? So the word that I want to talk to you about today is, for some, it may be a reminder. For others, it might be new. But it's a basic instructions for us as believers, as Jesus lovers. You know, when you're in the military, when you enter the military, the first thing they send you to is where? For military people. Basic training. You don't get on the battlefield until you first go through what? Basic training. And being a follower or a disciple of Jesus and knowing what that means is basic training. So sometimes we always have to go back, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, you forget what being a disciple really means. And then what you learn in basic training will actually save your life when applied. What you learn in basic training will save your life when you apply. And so I like to call these, in Matthew chapter 16, godly life instructions. Godly life instructions. Now, Jesus, let me start at this. Matthew's gospel was written to the Jews because the Jews were waiting on their Messiah. And one thing I was talking to the brother here, that the Bible was not written to us, it was written for us. And when the authors wrote, they was writing to a specific audience. So Matthew was writing to Jews, letting them know that Jesus is the Messiah, so that he was giving them the Jewish viewpoint talking to them in a way that they could understand and connect the dots, okay? Now, in this chapter, in verse 13, I know I didn't have him put it up here, but in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? In verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias or Elijah, others say Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Or who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, now, interesting thing about Simon Peter, Peter reminds me a little bit of me sometimes. Peter was the disciple that would always jump out first. Whether he had the zeal a lot of times, but sometimes he acted without knowledge. And there's a whole lot of believers that got a whole lot of zeal, but act without knowledge. And so Peter was one of them disciples that would cuss you out. Peter was one of them disciples that, you know, and you read in the Bible where he cut the man ear off. Peter had a temper on him, but Peter went on to, even though he was fiery like that, Peter also was a denier of Jesus too. So Peter was always the first one to jump out. But in this instance, he said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ means Christos, the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are God's special choice. You are the Christ. So Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. And then verse 18 says this, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock or confession, I will build my church. Church means to be called out. It's assembly of people, assembly of believers together, called out to serve the purposes of God. Upon this revelation of who I am, then I can build my church. So first thing you need to know out of this context is that you have to be a believer so that Jesus can build upon you, because you need to know who Jesus is. And the ones that know who Jesus is are the church. So the church. So he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it or overpower it. Now, I don't have time to go through the whole exegetical situation, but I will say this. When he was referring to the gates of hell, the elders would meet outside the city and talk about politics and everything else that was going on in that day. So Jesus was saying to Peter and saying to us as his disciples, the gates of hell, no matter if it's a political system, no matter if it's a financial system, will not prevail against God's church based on the revelation of who Jesus is. So I don't care who's in Washington or who's in Peoria's city hall, God is on the throne, and it's up to us as his disciples to stand out and be the church that he needs on today. So God needs his church. That's what it is. God needs his church. Now, as we go on, we need to understand what a disciple is. I promise I'm going to read those scriptures. I promise I'll get to them. A disciple, like an apprentice is a learner. So a disciple is a believer and a close follower. He's a pupil. He or she is a pupil, a student, implying a close relationship. A disciple is someone who looks and acts like the one he or she follows. A disciple is a person who has decided following Jesus takes precedence over everything else. A disciple is a person who takes part in progressively learning to bring his or her entire life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not just knowing Jesus as Lord, but letting him be or become the Lord over every area of your life. Now, that's a work in progress. I'm like you. I can be honest. I'll just talk about me. I don't know about you, but I can talk about me. I don't have it all together. I fall short of the glory of God a lot. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. But I'm progressively learning how to bring my entire life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who comes after Jesus, not only that prescribes to tell him what to do, as Peter tried to do in a lot of times, and forgetting his place. A disciple comes after Jesus, not telling him what to do. A lot of times we tell Jesus or God what to do because he doesn't move fast enough for us. Just like in Mark, what you were just reading, you know, the disciples had Jesus in the boat with them, right? And Jesus is down there asleep. And the storm is on them. They're like, wait a minute, we got Jesus down here. He down there asleep. What that mean? We got to go wake him up. Maybe he don't know. And so we do just like the disciples did. We go try to tell Jesus what to do and what we need, not realizing that Jesus already knows what we need before we can even ask him, right? Amen. A disciple comes after him as the sheep after the shepherd, the servant after his master, the soldiers after their captain. A disciple is one that aims at the same end as Jesus Christ aimed at, which is the glory of God and the glory of heaven, and one that walks in and is led by the Holy Spirit. A disciple walks in his steps, talking about Jesus' steps, and submit to his conduct and follow the Lamb. Sometimes when you're following Jesus, you got to take off your shoes so you can put your feet in his steps. Amen? Because we put on our shoes and we want to go the opposite way. But anyhow, I'm going to go to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says this. Then said Jesus unto who? His disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and do what? Follow me. It's okay to talk back. I like that. If you remember me before, I like people talking back to me. That's okay. All right. So what is that saying? You have to make a deliberate choice and have a resolution in that choice. Many are disciples by chance or by human will, but it's up to you to make the choice to become a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, okay? The number one thing you have to do is this. You have to deny yourself, and that's where we have a lot of problems. We want to not deny ourselves, right? All right? Deny yourself does not just mean to deny yourself things. It means to give yourself wholly to Christ and share in his shame and his death. Not shame with your head hanging down, but understanding that when Jesus went through, we all have to go through. So if Jesus, being the Son of God, went through persecution, if Jesus, being the Son of God, went through people talking about him, if Jesus, as the Son of God, had trials and tribulations, who do we think we are that we don't have trials and tribulations? Give me one clap. All right. Now, how many never went through a trial and tribulation? You never went through one? No. If you never went through one, I'm coming to shake your hand. All of us can agree that this world is a hard place to live in. Even if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it's a very hard and cold place, a callous place to live in. And it seems as we go along, it's getting even worse, right? And a lot has to do with we get so much information so fast, we get to see all the hate and all the disgust and all the downtrodden that's going on around in this world. So Jesus is telling us we have to deny ourselves. Deny means to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. The commandment that Jesus gave to us is this. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. I might have said that last time I was here. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. I define a neighbor as this. Somebody that's not you. (Laughter) Anybody, no matter what their background is, no matter what it is, anybody that's not you is your neighbor. That person next to you, before you, behind you, the ones you don't know, they are still your neighbor. No matter what they believe or how they vote or how they act, they are still your neighbor. The command of Jesus said we are to what? Love our neighbors as ourselves. And I know you sang a song about love. The world needs love. It's up to the church to show the world what real love is. Because real love is only found in God, because the Bible tells us that God is love. So if God is love, it's up to the church to show the world who God is. Amen? So you have to deny yourself, your own feelings. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 24 through 27 in the NIV says this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Everyone who competes in the games go into strict training. They do it for a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He goes on to say, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Winning a race, I'm not a runner, as you can probably tell, but I do exercise. I only run when I'm chased. But anyhow, that's a whole different story. Winning a race takes a lot of discipline. Being a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ takes discipline. It means denying yourself. The normal Christian life takes hard work, self-denial, and grueling preparation. Let me say that again. The normal Christian life takes hard work, self-denial, and grueling preparation. All right? So the first lesson we have to know is that we have to deny ourselves. And that's going to take a lot of work, because we have been taught that it's about us and my four and no more. But we have to get out of that mindset and start thinking about those that are around us. Give me another clap. All right. Let's read the scripture again. It says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross, which makes it personal. His cross. All right. Not you don't take up mine. I can't take up yours. Right. So we need to take up our cross. It does not mean to carry burdens or that you won't have problems. It means that you will identify with Christ in his rejection, shame, suffering, and death. You know why? Suffering always leads to glory. I know that's hard for you to wrap your head around. What do you mean? We always want it to be a sunny day in June at noon. Right? But like I said before, Jesus had to go through some things when he was on this earth. We're going to have to go through some things on this earth. But if we just hold on and be who God called us to be, sooner or later, we don't have to worry about this world no more. God's going to take care of it, because he's already written it in his book what he's going to do. So what I say this, everything that's going on in this world, it may shock us, but it does not surprise God, because he wrote about it. He said that during this time, he said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Tribulation means pressure. Tribulation means oppression. Tribulation means trouble. Tribulation means stress. Tribulation means worry. Tribulation means pain. So in this world, you will not, you might, you will have tribulations. So can anybody identify with that on any level? Do you know anybody that's going through tribulation? So what's shocking to us is not surprising to God, because he already told us what it was going to be like. Amen. It's all right to say amen. Now, the cross is an accepted symbol of love and sacrifice. But in that day, the cross means was a means of capital punishment. The Romans would not even mention the cross in polite society. In fact, no Roman citizen could be crucified. That was reserved for those who were of a lower class because they felt that it was a shameful, hard death. And if our Messiah, Jesus, was put on a cross and had to bear and carry a cross, what makes us think we don't have to carry a cross? Amen? Every disciple of Christ must take up your cross, though. Means you must, even though it may be hard, you still have to carry it. It don't mean that you bear it, but you have to carry it. What does that mean? That means, in other words, even when you are going through, just as Jesus did through the steps when he was carrying it up to the hill, we have to continue to carry our burdens. We have to continue to carry them. We have to continue to carry everything that we're going through in that moment. But it still didn't detour Jesus from getting up that hill, did it? No matter how weak he was, no matter how many times they had beat him, no matter how he was feeling, no matter, he probably didn't want to go through it, but he had to because he was doing the Father's will. No matter what was going on, he still carried that cross to achieve the goal that God sent him to do. You cannot allow what you're going through to stop you from fulfilling God's purposes that he has for you. Amen? You can't let it stop you. Because just like Jesus, when he was going through those streets, there's somebody in that crowd, Simon, that will come out and carry it and help you carry that cross. But it's up to you to keep your focus, the main focus, which is on Calvary's hill. Our cross is prepared for us, and we must not make our own cross, but accommodate ourselves to those which God has made for us. Everything that you are going through or will go through, God has allowed it to happen to you. You know why? Because he feels that he can trust you with it. Y'all know Job, right? Job, you know, Satan was running around saying who he can mess with. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? What it is that you're going through, God feels that he can trust you with it. Let that sink in. He can trust you with it. So what it is that Imago Dei is going through, or will face, or as you ask God for direction on what he's for a leader here, God allowed it to happen because he could trust you with the decision. Give yourself a hand clap. Count yourself worthy. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go on because I know my time is running. So we have to, what? Deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross. And lastly, we have to follow him. It goes on to say, let's say that. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That means to follow one who proceeds to join as an attendant, to go behind and to accompany as a follower. Follow does not mean to lead. Hope you catch that. Follower, because you're a follower, does not make you a leader. When you're following Jesus, that don't mean you get to lead Jesus. Now, I have this problem, and I'll be honest with you. I'm an honest preacher. Sometimes I want to jump out there, and then when I get in trouble, I want to call back and say, Jesus, don't you see what I'm doing? I'm just going to be honest. I'm just an honest person. But we have to learn how to, and it takes learning, We have to learn how to follow his lead. And sometimes he'll lead us where we don't want to go, into places we don't want to be at, and to do some things that we just really don't want to do in our natural self. Like me, I told you, I'm not a runner. But you let a dog get behind me, you're going to see me running. Amen. But anyway, being a follower does not mean taking the lead. You must look to Jesus and take from him both direction and encouragement. He bears the cross before us. He bears it for us, and he bears it from us. We take it up, but he bears it. All right? Now, the reason why it's so important to continue to do those steps, continue to be a disciple, continue to deny yourself, continue to take up your cross, and continue to follow him. The next verse says it like this. Verse 25 says, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And verse 26 says, for what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And verse 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man or woman or boy or girl according to his or their work. Amen. Real discipleship implies real commitment. Being a disciple means that you have to make a real commitment. You can't be, we are living in a day that there cannot be fair weather Christianity. You know why? Because the storms are brewing. The world needs to know who you know. And the only way the world gonna know who you know is not by the church you come to, it's the church who you are out here. When you walk through Kroger's, when you're at work, you need to be the same person there as you are here. Because guess what? They already know that you have what church you go to. They already know that you're supposed to be a Jesus lover. But when we get out there, we have a tendency to start acting like the world. Instead of trying to draw the world to us, they draw us to them. So when you get under stress, that's the best time for you to let Jesus out. Now, I ain't saying that you ain't supposed to get mad. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not supposed to be mad. The Bible says this. You can be angry, but sin not. Because Jesus got mad, too. Trust me. He felt everything that we feel. He got mad, too. But we are supposed to be the same people in church as we are out of church. And sometimes we don't have to hold a big billboard sign saying that I'm a Christian. They'll just know it by the way you act. By the love you show, by the way you talk, by the way you walk, even by the way you dress, or by the way you don't even have to. Sometimes I can go into a room and nobody knows who I am, and they'll look at me and they'll just notice something different about me. Not knowing who I am, not knowing I'm a pastor, not knowing that I do this and do that, but just seeing the love of God in me and the love of Jesus flowing through me. And the light that shines around me, because I am the same here as I am out there. So we have to make a commitment to be the same. Say, this is what I must do. This is what I must do. Jesus presented the disciples two approaches to life. He said, you could either deny yourself or live for yourself. You can either take up your cross or ignore your cross. You can either follow Jesus or follow Christ or follow the world. You can lose your life for his sake or save your life for your own sake. You can forsake the world or gain the world. You can keep your soul or lose your soul. You can either share in his reward and glory or lose his reward and glory. I'm taking I'm taking all of that on the left side. And the reason is I've come too far, I've been through too much, and I know too much about him to turn back now. So I declare and decree with you that this is what I must do. Repeat that after me. Say, this is what I must do. God bless you.